Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Wake up.
This is an incredible story. This has to be the youngest felon in that I've ever seen. 12-year-old here in New Orleans. He's been accused of a robbery at knife point. And this happened right outside the dollar store on Crowder Boulevard here in the city. New Orleans police have arrested a 12-year-old boy. And they're saying that he used a knife and robbing one woman. And then he tried to rob another woman outside of the dollar store on Crowder Boulevard. 12 years old. What were you doing at 12 years old? I know exactly what I was doing at 12 years old. It was my last year in Little League Baseball, the major leagues. I was riding my bike all over town. I was chewing a lot of gum. I couldn't imagine robbing someone at knife point at the age of 12. But then again, I grew up middle class. I was fortunate. I didn't grow up like many of the children here in the city of New Orleans.
I think at 12, I had just learned how to make a fist.
This happened at 5:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. A woman was leaving the Family Dollar store on Crowder Boulevard. A boy, the 12-year-old, approached her and demanded her money at knife point. She handed over her wallet and the boy fled. I mean, what would you do if a 12-year-old came up to you, pulled the knife on you, and said, give me your money? I mean, he's 12.
Well, you have to, if he's got a knife and he's brandishing a knife, you have to assume that he's prepared to use it. Anytime you see a weapon, whether it be a knife, whether it be a firearm, you have to assume that the person is prepared to use it.
And then 2 days later, on Tuesday, at around 2 in the afternoon, a boy armed with a knife tried to rob another woman in the parking lot of the same Family Dollar store. This victim was able to fend off the boy, striking him in the face with her handbag before running into the store for help. The 12-year-old robbery suspect was captured shortly after the Tuesday robbery attempt, when responding officers saw a boy matching the description of the suspect. Yeah, how many 12-year-olds are running around with a knife? That was the description. It's so sad. You know, some kids in our country, in our city, here in New Orleans, some kids, they don't have a chance from the moment they're born because of their mother, because of their father, or lack thereof.
Right.
And so many kids, a lot here in New Orleans, are born behind the eight ball. And they just because of the idiots who had them, they don't have a chance. They don't have the same chance that you or I had. But this has to be the youngest felon. Could there be a felon around here in this country that's younger than 12 years old?
Well,
and can you charge a 12-year-old? Yeah, they arrested him. I mean, he's with a felony. He's 12.
The youngest American citizen ever sentenced to life imprisonment, which is much, you know, it's obviously a felon, but proceeding to that sentence. Life imprisonment without possibility of parole in January of 2001, Lionel Alexander Tate was convicted of first-degree murder for the 1999 battering death of a six-year-old in Broward County, Florida. He was 13, sentenced to life imprisonment, no chance of parole.
Wow. Well, we now have a 12-year-old. He's been arrested. armed robbery with a knife. That's a felony. A 12-year-old felon here in New Orleans. Boy, oh boy. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. What a letdown last night, the New Orleans Saints football game against the Dallas Cowboys as they lost 13-10. And what's unique about last night's loss is you can blame Drew Brees. And you could say it was Drew Brees' fault and the offense's fault. You know, most of Drew Brees' career with the New Orleans Saints, when they lose, it's usually always been the defense's fault. It's the reason why one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived, who many call the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Tim Brady.
It's the reason he only has one Super Bowl. I mean, look at how great Drew Brees is. Shouldn't he have more than one Super Bowl victory? And the fact that he only has one Super Bowl victory, you could pretty much blame on the defense. I mean, you could blame Sean Payton for never putting a solid defense on the field in Drew Brees' career. But that wasn't the case last night. Last night was one of the rare times you could look at a New Orleans Saints loss during the Drew Brees era and point at Drew Brees and say, he didn't have it last night. He I don't know what was wrong with him. I don't know if the Cowboys outthunk him. But that might be the worst game Drew Brees ever played as a New Orleans Saint. Did he even throw for 150 yards? I don't even think he threw for 150 yards. One touchdown. He threw an interception at the end when he had one last chance to make good.
And a couple of passes. I don't know where they were going.
And you hardly ever can say that about Drew Brees. A guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer when he retires. But he went back to his home state last night. Did you see right before the game, they showed him when he was in high school playing at the old stadium where the Cowboys used to play?
Yes.
And when he won a state championship, they showed him throwing a 55-yard touchdown pass. Not much has changed since then, but just didn't have it last night. And they couldn't do anything. They really couldn't. They didn't run the ball that well. And again, Brees just flat out couldn't have any success through the air last night. And I mean, Dallas is all right. I mean, Dallas is not that great. I mean, Dallas is a franchise who has been ruined by its owner, who wants to have his name on everything and do everything. And Jerry Jones, I mean, hell, look where everybody said that they were playing yesterday. Are they playing at anything to do with the Cowboys? No, they're playing at Jerry's World. It all has to be about him. And that's why the Cowboys, pretty much over the last 20 years, have been an irrelevant NFL franchise. It's because of Jerry Jones and his meddling. Now, some will tell you, hey, you're the owner, you spend all that money, you could do whatever you want. Very true. But if he was a smart owner, he would be like Tom Benson. He would be like Robert Kraft. He would hire a couple of good football minds and then just stay the hell out of the way and stay up there with his facelifts and just watch the game. But very disappointing last night.
Let me throw three words out to you. You ready for those three words? I'm going to say them with dramatic pauses in between all three. Sports Illustrated Jinx.
Oh, that's right. A couple of days before last night's game.
Who's on the cover?
The new Sports Illustrated came out, and Drew Brees was on the cover.
There are only a few.
Those bastards!
There are only a handful of athletes who apparently are immune to the Sports Illustrated Jinx. Notably, Muhammad Ali was on it 40 times. That worked out pretty well for him. Michael Jordan, Tom Brady.
Hit me.
The Sports Illustrated Jinx is like the Madden football jinx. So you're on the cover of that magazine or the cover of that video game.
Yes.
For most people, what happens soon after that is not good.
I'm just throwing that out there. Do with that what you will or won't.
And
however, to counter that, I mean, you can parse. You can parse numbers just like you can parse, well, this happened if you Lincoln was elected in 1860 and was assassinated. Kennedy was elected in 19, all of that nonsense. But I saw a quick blurb here that said the last time that the Dallas Cowboys stopped a New Orleans Saints winning streak, the Saints went on to win the Super Bowl.
That was 2009. I went to that game. That was here in the Superdome. The Saints were 13-0 at the time. And the Cowboys came in with Tony Romo, and they beat them. That's when my buddy that you know came down from Connecticut.
That's right.
We went to that game.
So I will see your Sports Illustrated curse and raise you that stat.
Look, it's only one game, and hopefully the Saints can shake it off. But it kind of stinks because that really Drew Brees has never won the MVP, and he was having an MVP season until last night. And a lot of people are saying it's either going to be Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for Kansas City, or one of two guys on the Los Angeles Rams, their quarterback Jared Goff or their running back Todd Gurley, and then Drew Brees. Those are the front runners for the NFL Most Valuable Player as we enter the last month of the season here. And that's the other thing. You know, there's still plenty of football to be played.
Right.
And the most important thing, in my opinion, for the Saints is to make sure that they retain home field advantage, much like they did in 2009, because when it comes time for the playoffs, boy, it's much easier for them to win here at home under the Superdome than it is out on the road somewhere. So they're still going to have a little work to do to confirm that in the last month of the season. But you know, for some of the people that were saying that the Saints were by far and away the best team in the NFL this year. I mean, they're in the group, they're in the conversation, they're in that handful of teams. Okay, let's say as we sit here this morning after the horrible Dallas loss, who are the best teams in the NFL? Well, the Saints and the Rams and the Chiefs and the Patriots. And I know Pittsburgh had a bad loss last week, but they're in the conversation. But you know who's good too? Minnesota is really good.
I can't wait for that 3:30 game on Sunday.
They're playing New
Vikings
England.
Vikings and Patriots.
Yeah, they got Cousins. You know, it's his first year. Kirk Cousins is their quarterback. They're really good.
You just see the absolute pain though on Sean Payton's face. He wants to win so bad against Dallas.
That's where he came from.
He wants to beat them so badly.
Yeah, and there was that picture going around from the year 2000 yesterday. Three guys standing there. Sean Payton, it was when he was the offensive coordinator of the New York Football Giants, standing there next to Kerry Collins, who was the quarterback of the Giants at the time, and Kerry Collins' backup quarterback at the time, Jason Garrett, who is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
I'll tell you, there was a lot of Saints fans there last night. I don't want to say half and half, but it was almost half and half. It was about 35-40% Saints fans there last night, because you could tell the very few times the Saints did something well, you could hear the crowd cheer. Well, you would have noticed it more if the Saints played better.
I don't know if they've actually come out and used these words, but there's no question that Fox and CBS, and I don't know if NBC is on the bandwagon just yet, but they are just itching to make the Saints, quote-unquote, America's team, because it's such a good story. They have Harry Connick Jr. on last night with a little taped piece to start the broadcast. That's the kind of thing they used to do with America's other team, the Dallas Cowboys, back in the day.
Yeah.
As if to imply that everybody watching the broadcast, well, we kind of know, we're going to watch the game, but we kind of know you're rooting for Dallas. Remember those days?
Well, you know, right up until the Cowboys' last Super Bowl in 1995, they were either in the Super Bowl or at least the NFC Championship game one out of every 3 years or so in the NFL, in the history of the NFL. But since then, since Jerry Jones has gotten in the way, he's rendered that organization pretty much irrelevant. And it's all because of Hurricane Katrina, the post-Katrina Saints. That's why people at the network, and that's why a lot of people want the Saints to be America's team.
It's a good story.
You know, there's a lot of Saints fans that would tell you they are America's team. They're up there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no statistics with facts that we can conjure up to say, well, who's America's team these days? But It was just very disappointing. Oh, very disappointing performance last night.
Talking about that, that's just sizzle. That's the sizzle that Madison Avenue can put on the steak.
You know,
I think Saints fans will take that.
And the Saints defense, who was usually to blame during Drew Brees' Saints history, it's usually because the Saints defense. That's why Drew Brees hasn't won more rings. That's why when they lose games, you could usually almost always point to the defense. Last night, the defense played well enough to win. They only gave up 13 points. And usually the Saints, they're good for 4 or 5 touchdowns every game. Every game. They averaged 37 points a game going into last night. And they only scored 10 points. So very disappointing. Hopefully they'll turn it around. Hopefully that beating last night will be good for them. They'll make sure they never want that to happen again. Onward and upward. Coming up on the show, you're never going to believe what has helped a bunch of New Orleans public school kids not only stay in school, but get better grades. You're never going to believe this. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Here's another story of how social media really did in some idiot who put something on social media. And look, if you've listened to the show, you've heard us talk about it before. Whether it's Facebook or Twitter, some people's posts have ended their careers. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their relationships, their husbands, their wives. And here's a 20-year-old in New Orleans who just got arrested because of something he did last year. He was in a bar uptown. He was in a fight outside the bar. He took a beer bottle and he smashed it over some guy's head, knocking him unconscious and sending him to the hospital. He then went on social media and he bragged about it. He was, the only question here is, he just got arrested the other day. This happened a year ago, the incident outside the bar uptown. So the question is, why did it take a year to arrest this guy? But a couple of the things this idiot said, and by the way, the idiot is 20-year-old Ryan Lee. He was booked this week. This incident happened 1 year ago outside the bar. A man was trying to break up a fight between his friend and another man they didn't know when he was struck from behind with a beer bottle, which knocked him unconscious, and the guy that hit him was 20-year-old Ryan Lee.
But he wasn't even involved in the fight. He just inserted himself.
Yeah, he hit...
It's like, hey, bar fight. Ugh.
Well, he hit the guy over the head who was trying to break up the fight. And then he goes on his social media, and he says that same night, and he put a photo. I guess they took a picture of the guy laying down on the ground.
Nice.
And he wrote, sleep in season. And Bud Lights are good for the head. So a year went by. And then the police just arrested him this week. I don't know why it took them that long, but at least they got the guy. But here's another perfect example of someone being stupid on social media. But he was just as dumb on social media as he was at the bar. When he hits a guy over the head who's trying to break up the bar fight, when he hits him over the head with a bottle. So, all right, coming up on the show, you're not going to believe what is not only keeping some New Orleans public school kids in school, but it's helping their grades. That's coming up next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So there's a program that's been going on in a handful of New Orleans public schools. And this program has not only helped children stay in school and improve their attendance, but it also helped raise their grades. And I couldn't believe this when I saw it. But then when you think about it, It makes sense. It's a laundry program. Maytag, the company that makes the washing machines.
The dependability people. I don't think they've used that in the last 30 years, but
they have a program, Brewster, where they put washers and dryers in like the poorest of the poor inner city schools across the country. And they picked a handful of New Orleans schools, five schools here in New Orleans. Last year, they were accepted into that nationwide program. Did I say Maytag?
You did. The dependability people.
Whirlpool sponsored this.
Also a fine product, American made.
Yes.
Really, Whirlpool. Maytag and Whirlpool are the only American made big ticket items of that nature. Washing and drying.
This program is sponsored by Whirlpool. And they thought, Whirlpool thought that, I mean, there are some kids and some families that are so poor that if they get their school uniforms dirty, they don't have any money to get them clean. They don't have any washers or dryers at their homes. They don't have enough change or enough dollar bills to go to the local laundromat. And so because they're embarrassed, the kids wouldn't go to school because their uniforms were dirty. Well, now, in five of these schools here in the city of New Orleans, they, because of this program by Whirlpool, attendance is up and the grades are up because they're not worried about dirty clothes and they're not worried about being embarrassed.
Right.
You know, I think that's great. And I think what makes this fantastic is the fact that a private sector company is doing this. This isn't the government money. We've got to, hey, it takes a village. Come on, taxpayers. It takes a village to raise and feed and clean these kids. No. No, it takes a responsible parent and two responsible parents. It doesn't take a village. But this is a private sector company who decided that they're going to donate a handful of their products, washers and dryers, to inner city schools in different cities across the country. So I think that's great by Whirlpool. And they are seeing results with this program.
And by the way, Whirlpool and Maytag are all under the same umbrella with KitchenAid and HotPoint,
oh, okay.
Gen Air. But the distinction is they are, I believe, each one of their brands are American made. That's what Mrs. Brewster told me.
Well, that's good. And it's called Whirlpool's Care Counts Laundry Program. And they had one goal a couple of years ago. They wondered how many kids are not going to school because their school uniforms are dirty and they're embarrassed. And because they're not going to school, they're not learning. The grades are down. Their attendance is down. Now, all of a sudden, in these schools here in New Orleans where they're doing this, and I don't have the statistics from the other schools in other cities in America. I'm just looking at what's happening here in New Orleans. This program is working.
You know, my sister is about 9 or 10 years older than I am, and she went to what they used to refer to as home economics. You would learn some baking skills. You would learn ironing. You'd learn washing and drying your clothes.
I took a home ec class when I was in junior high.
I never had that. But when you think about it, it's one of those things that if your mother or father, probably your mother, I guess, maybe that's being a little bit sexist.
You sexist.
But you have a parent or someone older than you who is taking care of your laundry, and you don't know how to do that unless someone shows you. That's a great skill. Not even a skill, but it's just a that's one of those necessities of life that you should know how to, you should know how to do it.
Absolutely.
Like changing the oil on your car, and I still don't know how to do that.
Absolutely. Fixing a flat tire. They should teach all of that stuff in school. You should have classes.
Just be called life. Life class. Life class. Changing a tire. Washing your clothes. Learning how to make change if you happen to get a job as a cashier. Don't just hand me $5.16 from a 20. You're supposed to count it back.
No,
nobody does that anymore.
There's a lot of young people that don't know how to do any of that stuff. You know, but they'll go off and they'll spend $30,000 a year, 4 years for college to learn about gender studies or to learn about, you know, things that, how the hell are you going to apply this and make a living in real life?
Or political science.
No.
We have enough of that.
Mm. I just thought this was a really good program. And again, what I liked about it the most was this wasn't the people saying, hey, taxpayers, we need your money to feed these kids. We need your money to clean their laundry. We need your money to do all of this. No, this is a private sector company who saw an issue, who saw a problem, and they said, we're going to help. And nobody held guns to taxpayers' heads saying, hey, you know, just throw more money at these public schools in the inner cities, because that's not the answer. That has been tried over the years, and that is not the answer. And I love the fact that that Whirlpool is doing this. And if you think about it, what is it really costing Whirlpool? You know, some washing machines and some dryers that they make all the time. I mean, it's I think I love it, and I think it's great. All right, coming up on the show, you could add Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the TV show. You could add that to the list of shows that that many on the political left are calling seriously problematic.
They should be banned, frankly.
Should be banned?
No one should see them.
Add this to the list, and we're going to tell you why they want the very cute Rudolph the and his cute red nose, why they want him off of your television every Christmas. We'll tell you that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So, someone who worked for CNN got fired for anti-Semitic statements. Did you see that? And this guy, you'll know who he is, I think, if you pay attention to the news, because he used to pop up on Fox News all the time. A black guy named Mark Lamont Hill. He's a teacher at Temple University in Philadelphia. And by the way, Temple is standing by him. They didn't fire him after CNN fired him. And I don't agree with Mark Lamont Hill, but I always enjoyed watching him when I saw him on the news. He always came at you with a different perspective. But what did he say that got him fired from CNN? Well, he was speaking at the United Nations. He was speaking at the UN, and he used language, especially a couple of words, a phrase, that advocates the elimination of Israel. And, you know, he's not the only Democrat that's like this, and this is why I've always wondered why most American Jewish people are Democrats, because Democrats, if you ask most Democrats, pick a side, Israel or Palestine, they're all picking Palestine. They all side with Palestine. But Mark Lamont Hill, this is what he said at the United Nations, and this happened on Wednesday. And it was a meeting of the Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People.
I saw that bumper sticker the other day driving.
Sounds like a fun group to hang out with, doesn't it? And did you know last Wednesday, Brewster? We didn't say this during Why Today Doesn't Suck. It was International Day of Solidarity with Palestinian People Day.
Well, we only have so much time.
No, I went to the Jewish deli after the show, actually, that day, and I got a sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Here's what Mark Lamont Hill did. He accused the Israeli government of normalizing settler colonialism, and he called for a free Palestine from the river to the sea. And when you say from the river to the sea, that means you want Israel. You want Israel wiped off the map. You don't want Israel there anymore. That's what that means.
From the God of Abraham.
From the river to the sea.
Will you please welcome Joseph and Metairie now?
But that's the phrase, from the river to the sea, that many people realize that means
right.
No Israel. Get Israel off the map. And so he has been fired for that. We'll see what happens to him. Coming up next, we look at today in history on the show. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. And we hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock.
Don't forget now, if you'd like to have a chance to visit with the Rolling Stones, and I don't mean just see them, I mean actually have a VIP backstage experience with the Rolling Stones, go to Santa Sack at the website, bayou957.com. This is truly, 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 truly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It is a trip for you this June to go with a friend to Boston and see the Stones at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. Meet and greet, backstage VIP tour. Oh, did I mention round-trip airfare and hotel accommodations? Duh. And as you like to say, it don't cost nothing. Now, you may have some incidentals that you'll have to pay for while you're there. We can't cover everything. So once you get there, there might be some expenditures you'll have to foot on your own. Yeah, but to register, it doesn't cost anything.
But how awesome is it just to go to a website, register, and you could win all of that?
I just said that.
I mean, that's just, that's why I always say, duh, it don't cost nothing.
Right.
So go to Bayou957.com and good luck.
Look at the time.
Yeah, it's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Today, today is
that. I was going to say it's finally the last day of November.
Yes, the end of hurricane season. And the Lord that we didn't have, we had a lot of problems with rain, but nothing of the actual hurricane variety, and that is a good thing. Today, if I can find it here, oh, go ahead. Never mind.
All right. Well, November 30th, today in 1954.
Why today doesn't suck?
A meteorite hits a woman in Alabama. The first modern instance of a meteorite striking a human being occurs in the town of Sylacauga, Alabama.
I'm sorry, what is that?
That's Sylacauga. How do you spell that?
It's changed already?
S-Y-L-A-C-A-U-G-A.
Can you use it in a sentence? I guess you already have.
Sylacauga, Alabama. Anyways, that's where a woman was standing out in the street and a meteorite hit her. Actually, she wasn't on the street. She was in her house, and the meteorite crashed through the roof of a house into her living room.
Oh, well, yeah, that would sound like this.
The meteorite then bounced off of a radio in her living room and struck the woman in her hip. So if you're going to get hit with a meteorite, I guess that's the best place, one of the better places to get hit, in the hip. Better than getting hit other places. Her name was Mrs. Elizabeth Hodges. And she was just chilling in her living room one night, and today in 1954, and a meteorite came into her house and hit her.
Now, was she chilling, or was she Netflix and chilling?
Before Netflix's time. Yes. But not before meteorites' times.
November 30th, happy National Mason Jar Day. Are you a big Mason Jar fan?
Who is that guy? Is he a guitar player?
No, Mason, no. Who do you know? Mason jar, like the mason
jar. Oh, the actual jar.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love mason
jars?
Good,
They're good for moonshine. They're good for iced tea. They're good to put coins in. What else? Jellies, jams, and preserves.
I'm a big jar fan, Brewster. Mason jars were probably at the top of that list, but I love jars in general.
Right, right. Also, it is National Meth Awareness Day, so be aware of your meth. And National Mississippi Day. Happy day to our friends to the Near East, to the North and to the East.
November 30th. This is a pretty big deal. It was today in 1974.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Elton John's Greatest Hits album.
I have that album, or had that album.
Well, you and...
on vinyl.
Pretty much everybody else.
Yes.
Because today in 1974, it hit number one on the charts. And here's why it was a big deal. There wasn't a ton of greatest hits before that. And record companies realized, in 1974, Elton John only had a few albums out, but he had a bunch of hits. And the record company's thinking, why don't we put all of his best songs, his greatest hits, on one album? That album went on to sell more than 25 million copies. These were songs that were already recorded and put on other albums.
Right.
This was easy for the record company to do. But
you know, if I'm not mistaken, and that's right around that time, 73, 74, I was in my early, like 12, 13, and I was discovering that kind of, you know, that sort of music. I do believe that the first Elton John album on vinyl that I ever owned, I believe, was Greatest Hits Volume 1.
You're not the only one.
And then I went back.
Yeah. And then after that, record companies are like, wow, this Greatest Hits, it doesn't cost us anything. We've already paid for all of this stuff. Let's repackage it together, and boy, oh boy, made a lot of money. November 30th. It was today in 1993.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Brady Bill was signed into law. This had nothing to do with New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
To me.
This had to do with James Brady.
Yes.
James Brady was one of the guys who, well, he got shot really bad when Ronald Reagan got shot. And he got shot right in the head. And James Brady, a few years went by, and then the Brady Bill was signed into law. That law requires a prospective handgun buyer to wait 5 business days while authorities check on his or her background to make sure that this person's not crazy.
Right.
And you know, there are some Second Amendment people that aren't happy with that law, because that's a right that we have. We all have the right to own a gun. It's in the Constitution. Just like we have the right to free speech in the First Amendment. Well, the next amendment right after that, the Second Amendment, we all have the right to protect ourselves and bear arms. November 30th. It was today in 2006.
Why today doesn't suck.
Sid Barrett, his final belongings were sold at an auction,
right,
in England. And Sid Barrett was the founding member of the band Pink Floyd. And then he took too much acid and he never came back. And then he was replaced by David Gilmour. But they finally had an auction, and they sold off a bunch of his final belongings today in 2006. Much of that stuff, it was 77 items, raised $250,000, mostly
wow.
Paintings that he did and some other things like
right.
That. So
it was on this date, November 30th, 2003.
Why today doesn't suck.
At the corner of Bowery and 2nd in New York City. New York City, would that be, that's not too far from Battery Park, right?
No, Lower Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yes, Lower Manhattan.
It was renamed Joey Ramone Place in honor of the singer of the Ramones, who had passed away 2 years earlier. Sorry. In more sad news in rock and roll, it was on this date, November 30th, 2000.
Why today doesn't suck.
Loverboy bassist Scott Smith went sailing with friends for the final time outside the coast of San Francisco when a 26-foot wave swept him overboard into shark-infested waters. A 4-hour search for the weekend and for Smith showed that he was declared dead. He was not really found, but he was 45 years old. It was on this date, November 30th, 1977.
Why today doesn't suck.
Bing Crosby's 42nd, and for you kids listening, Bing Crosby was this really, really old dude who recorded White Christmas, the biggest selling song of all time still. It was his 42nd and final Christmas special, which aired on CBS, which featured Crosby's duet with David Bowie on Peace on Earth / Little Drummer Boy. Bowie later said he only appeared on the special because, quote, I just knew my mother liked him.
A couple of celebrity birthdays for you, Brewster.
Not for me, for everybody.
Born today, one of the great American writers, Mark Twain. He was born today, way back in 1835.
Why today doesn't suck.
You know, Samuel Clemens.
That's the name on his birth certificate. In his famous novel, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, the N-word occurs more than 200 times. Scholars say if Mark Twain were alive today, he'd probably be a rapper.
I see what you've done there. Happy birthday, also born on this date in 1955.
Why today doesn't suck.
Newly minted U.S. citizen Billy Idol. Happy birthday. And friend of the show, born on this date in 1945.
Why today doesn't suck.
Bassist, producer for Deep Purple and Rainbow, etc., etc. Done some work with, I think, Judas Priest, maybe. Roger Glover, friend of the show. Happy birthday.
And
finally,
today in 2004.
Why today doesn't suck.
You remember Ken Jennings? He was
yes.
The biggest winner in the history of the television show Jeopardy. It was today in 2004 after winning 74 straight games and more than $2.5 million. Ken Jennings loses on Jeopardy.
Way back in the 60s, man.
And that's a segment that we, thank you, Alex, it's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you why this Christmas season may be the last time you, your kids, anybody sees Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on TV, because many on the political left are calling that seriously problematic, and they're calling it bigoted. And I just think Rudolph is cute with that red nose, and I think some people are taking all of this stuff too far. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
That's the government for you.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Do you remember when we got Osama bin Laden?
Sure, October 1st, 2010?
A few years ago.
Yeah. You don't remember.
Well, no, I didn't have the exact day.
Well,
on
then
the top
don't
of my
be
head.
Don't be asking me questions that you don't know the answer to.
The reason I asked and
Buddy.
The reason I brought that up,
yes,
is because when they got him, when they killed him, he had a large stash of pornography.
Porn.
Yeah, he had a bunch of porn.
I understand he had some really good stuff too. May 2nd, 2011.
Well, let me tell you something. They didn't do what with the porn. What they did with bin Laden, you know how they wrapped him up in a sheet and they threw him in the ocean?
Viking funeral, sure.
Like, they should have wrapped up all of his porn, too, and threw it into the sea. But they didn't. As a matter of fact, the CIA says Osama bin Laden's pornography stash is classified. The collection reportedly includes a film called Deep Goat. But other than that, I haven't heard anything
you
else.
You made me sit through all of that.
Well,
seriously?
I haven't heard anything else about, you know, what he liked or what. But could you imagine? And I that's locked away in some hidden location. It'll probably be there forever.
Don't say it again.
I don't know. Bin Laden's porn.
Yeah.
All right.
Can't believe you sucked me into that.
Coming up next, we're gonna tell you the story about how some people say Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer should never be on television again.
I agree.
This Christmas? No, you don't. This Christmas or any other Christmas, because it's racist and it's bad. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names.
They called him names.
They never let poor Rudolph play in any reindeer game.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
Hey, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
And all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee.
Hey, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Hey, man, dude, you're going to go down in history.
Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock.
That, by the way, is William Shatner and his Santa, it's Shatner Claus. And that was along with Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. And
hey,
that's about all I can take of that. About 53 seconds of that is enough.
I like William Shatner and Billy Gibbons' version of Rudolph. Boy, who knew when you put those two creative minds together? What would come out of that?
You like that? Can I just ask you one question? Why?
Well, I like it today because it's newsworthy.
Yes.
Because, you know, every Christmas we've been raised on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We love that show.
Since 1964.
Yeah.
1 year before the Charlie Brown Christmas, which came out in 65, and then the other Charlie Brown, the Thanksgiving special, which was ripped to shreds earlier this week and the end of last week.
And just like you said, Brewster, just like Charlie Brown, now Rudolph is being called by a bunch of Americans bigoted,
yes,
seriously problematic, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer should not be shown anymore on television at Christmas time. And I'm going to explain why. Now, this all got started with that rag, the Huffington Post. It's a left-wing news site. And there are people that not only work for the Huffington Post, but a bunch of people that read the Huffington Post are slamming Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
They're saying it features sexism, it features bullying, and this is a problem in America in 2018. We don't need our television shows and our television specials to be doing these things as well.
We don't need to fill the holiday season, which is supposed to be a time of buying and commercialism and credit and overspending and spoiling your children with a bunch of cheap crap from China that they don't really need. That's the true meaning of the holidays, isn't it?
Well, the Huffington Post is saying, quote, viewers are noticing the tale may not be so jolly after all. And they're sharing their observations online. Again, they're calling it sexist. They're calling it bigoted. Among those observations was the suggestion that the television classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a story about racism and homophobia, while calling Santa Claus abusive and bigoted. Quote, here's what one person said. Yearly reminder that hashtag Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a parable on racism and homophobia with Santa as a bigoted, exploitative, can I shade the word that rhymes with click, but it starts with PR?
No. No. Because that's... No. You just, yeah, we got that.
Okay. We got it. Santa.
Yeah, you spelled it. Yeah. We got it.
Santa's
You wouldn't mind my red nose?
Santa's operation is a human relations nightmare and in serious...
Who's supposed to be gay in Rudolph?
And in serious need of diversity and inclusion training. This is what they're calling Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, a human relations nightmare.
Is it Bumble, the abominable snowman? Is he gay?
What do you want from me? You know, and here's one instance where someone or something with a red nose is positive. Because usually, if we know people with red noses in our lives, they're usually hardcore alcoholics. Remember Ted Kennedy's nose, the
now
senator?
Now you're being very insensitive. Those are very intemperate comments on your part.
You'll never fit in!
Right.
They're saying, Brewster, Rudolph...
Oh, Herbie. Herbie's the one that's supposed to be gay.
Yeah, they're saying that...
I want to be a dentist.
They're saying that Rudolph's father verbally abused him by forcing him to wear a fake nose.
Yes!
And to be accepted by... He had to wear that fake nose to be accepted by others.
All of that. I'm going to burn my Betamax copy of that show.
Here's why it's supposedly sexist. Because Rudolph's mother was snubbed after she wanted to help reindeer husband Donner to search for their son after he goes missing. She was told, quote, no, this is man's work.
Right. That's way sexist.
Brewster, I'm sure if you look at pretty much everything that has been made in America right up until the 2000s, or at least 2005, that anybody could look at something or listen to something and hear something or see something that in their minds they think is sexist or racist.
Or homophobic or...
I mean, how dare Rudolph's mother be told that she can't go look for him because that's man's work.
That's right.
Isn't this a bit much? I mean, what you mentioned this happened to Charlie Brown at Thanksgiving. Yes. There are people, these same type of people that read the Huffington Post, they don't want Charlie Brown on anymore because they think that's all of these things too.
That's right. You know, it's just you can twist anything around to make it fit any particular template. You can pretend like you're round. Is it round peg, square hole, or round? I never got that one right. Not very good at drafting.
Round hole, square pegs, or something.
Oh, I flunked both drafting and geometry. But you can twist. You know, it's like on Mondays we play Dirty Sunday Night Football. We have this.
Oh, excuse me. Call me Sam. What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a snowman before? Now, don't any of you worry your heads about Santa. Mrs. Claus will have him plenty up by Christmas Eve.
Not happy in my work, I guess.
What?
I just don't like toys.
No, well, if that's all. What? You don't like toys?
No.
Hermie doesn't like toys. Do you mind telling me what you do want to?
Well, sir, someday I'd like to a dentist.
That's when all the new fawns come out with their folks to meet the other new fawns. And to be by Santa.
Perhaps, being misfit yourselves, you might boys here.
Them?
Yes.
No, it's all settled. We tomorrow together.
Gone? I'll them, sir. I'll all.
Come here, open your mouth.
Looks like we're again.
But Rudolph promised we this time.
Wow.
Can you hand me the Kleenex there? That's
pretty emotional.
Rather touching.
Well, whether it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at Christmas or Charlie Brown at Thanksgiving, many Americans love this stuff, yet there are people that see that we love this stuff, and they'll go and they'll try to ruin it for everybody. Because
right.
Instead of just not watching it themselves, they want it taken off the air. I mean, do you think Charlie Brown should be taken off for Christmas? Do you think Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer should be taken off for Christmas? Charlie Brown taken off for Thanksgiving? You think those shows should be taken off because they're sexist, they're problematic, they're racist, they're homophobic? Really? I think if you look into anything, you'll be able to find something that you don't like. Again, this goes back when we talked about Mark Twain earlier during Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Right.
This goes back then when they edited his books and they took the N-word out because they didn't want to hear.
Well, that's apples and wingnuts. I mean,
well, they want to take these shows off the air. They want to take Mark Brooks Twain's out of our classrooms.
But we can't comment on people who want to compare everything to Hitler and the Holocaust and Nazism. We can't attack that, but then use the removal of the N-word from 19th century literature as an argument for, oh, they're messing with Charlie Brown. I can't.
Oh, I think it's all.
I'm not on board with that.
I think it's all under the same umbrella. It's people that want to erase history. Learn from history, people want to erase history, and I don't like it, Brewster.
No, to mess with Charlie Brown and to take out the N-word are light years apart, my opinion.
But it's wanting to erase history.
I get it, but just there. That's I would not go there comparing those two.
I just
in the same breath. That's just me.
I just think this whole thing is ridiculous. You know, if you're watching Rudolph or Charlie Brown with your kid, and you think Rudolph is sexist, or you think Rudolph is problematic, well, maybe you know when Rudolph's mother is told, no, we'll go look for Rudolph because that's man's work.
Right.
You could stop it right there and look at your child and say, well, women could go look for their missing children too, and then continue to play the
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I don't understand why people want to erase. That's why I brought up the books. That's
right.
Why I brought up the
people.
Instead of learning from history, which is what we should do, do not erase it. Do not erase it. This is ridiculous. And I hope next year when Thanksgiving and when Christmas come around, that Charlie Brown and Rudolph are still on the television, and these whiny complainers who want to just whine and complain about everything, they could just go in and continue to whine and complain, but let us enjoy what we enjoy.
Well, but the great thing is that you can own, you can go to probably any gas station, and you can find for $3, you can find a version of Rudolph or Charlie Brown or the Grinch or whatever it is. So they're going to live on forever, even if, I mean, they don't need to be put on my television. I don't need a programmer in New York or California to put those on for me to enjoy them.
The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Did you see what Payless Shoe Store did the other day? This is pretty funny what they did. And Payless, they're known, I mean, it's in their name. They sell shoes for a good price.
Right, discount prices on shoes for the whole family.
But what they did was they opened up a fake high-end store, and they called it Palessi's. You know, instead of Payless, Palessi's. It was a fake store. They held a fake grand opening. They invited social media fashion influencers from all over the world to show up. And basically, they just put their own cheap shoes in the
Well, they're fine product.
Yeah.
When you say cheap shoes, you mean that in a good way. They're fine product.
But at one of the openings in Los Angeles, they had all of these Beverly Hills women coming in their thousands of dollars worth of clothes and diamonds and shoes. And they're there at Palessi Shoes, and they're taking pictures, sharing them on social media.
I would definitely spend $295 on a pump like this.
Palessi could charge upwards of $800 for their shoes.
$500, yeah. People are going to be like, oh, where'd you get those? Those are amazing.
These are actually from Payless.
Shut up.
Yeah, they fooled everybody. They made them all look stupid.
Shut up.
And I thought that was funny. All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you about the business that wanted to open on St. Charles Avenue, but the neighbors said no. They got with City Council. We'll tell you what happened coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Shut up.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. People are a little bit sad this morning in the New Orleans metropolitan region. Who Dat Nation upset over their loss last night. Dallas Cowboys ended the Saints' 10-game winning streak. And we're going to talk more about it after 9 o'clock.
Break that down, yeah.
Yeah, we'll break it down more after 9 o'clock. But I just wanted to mention, this is the one of the rare times where you could look at Drew Brees and say this was on him. Usually during the Drew Brees era here in New Orleans, if they don't win, it's because of the defense. Last night, the defense played well enough to win. Drew Brees couldn't figure out the Dallas defense, and the Saints just didn't play well. And it stinks. It's only one loss. That's okay. They're still at the top when it comes to the NFL. Whether you're talking about the Rams, you're talking about the Saints. They're still right up there at the top. It's only one loss. Don't be too sad, but it did kind of stink watching that last night. So, a business wanted to open on St. Charles Avenue, lower St. Charles Avenue in the Lower Garden District, right near where the, Popeyes is, where the Wendy's is. These guys who own daiquiri shops in Baton Rouge wanted to open a daiquiri shop there on St. Charles Avenue. When the neighbors who live there and other businesses who operate there, when they heard about that, they complained. They actually went to City Council. They said, we don't want another daiquiri shop here because it's going to draw the wrong crowd.
They're like St. Charles and Irado or Melpomene in that area.
Yeah, just a block or two up from Melpomene.
Yeah.
The 1600 block of St. Charles Avenue. And the reason why the neighbors don't want it there is because across the street from there, there was a daiquiri shop that closed like a year or two ago. But before it closed, there was a lot of shady people, criminals, hanging out around that daiquiri shop. Remember, we're talking about St. Charles Avenue there, right near Martin Luther King, where if you're walking uptown on St. Charles Avenue, let's say you're walking uptown, heading towards Audubon, walking uptown, if you take a right there and you walk a few feet, you're in the movie Judgment Night. All of a sudden you're off, or
pick a nightmare movie of your choice.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're off one of the greatest streets in America, St. Charles Avenue, and you're in Central City. You're in the worst neighborhood in the city of New Orleans. And so that old daiquiri shop that used to be there on that corner, you used to see a lot of the not so most prosperous people, we will call them, from Central City that used to frequent that place, hang out in front of that place. And it was kind of scary. And that place has been closed for a while. So neighbors realized that these guys wanted to put a daiquiri shop in there, and they went to city council and they said, please, no. Now, normally, I do not like it when the government gets involved in the free market capitalistic society. That's the libertarian in me. Though, if the neighbors that already live and work there went to government with their concerns and complained about it, that's a completely different story. That's a completely different story. Because those are the people who live and work there. So yesterday, this issue came up at the New Orleans City Council meeting, and New Orleans City Council members shot down that business. They shot down the proposal for a new daiquiri shop on the lower end of St. Charles Avenue. It's because of pushback from neighbors. Not only are they concerned about the type of business and the type of crowd it would draw hanging around there, they were also concerned about trash issues. They felt that it would dirty up the neighborhood as well. Yeah, the closest corner there, Brewster, it's St. Charles right near Terpsichore. And
Terpsichore.
And they don't want it there. They flat out don't want it there. And the other daiquiri shop that was across the street from there, it was like a block and a half up. That closed in 2012. Time is flying. I thought that was only a year or two ago. Jesus, closed almost 6 years ago after they lost their liquor license for repeated nuisance and noise issues. And the noise came from the people that were a nuisance, and those were the people, the Central City people, that would walk over there and hang out there. So it'll be interesting to see what business does open up there. But I like this when people who live and work in a neighborhood, in an area, pay attention. They're concerned about what's happening, and then they go to government. It's not government standing up saying, no, we don't want you in there, because I think that would be wrong. It's the neighbors in that neighborhood. And it's pretty incredible when you think about daiquiri shops, not only in the city of New Orleans, but in the suburbs as well, all over the state of Louisiana. I mean, they're big in Metairie. They're big in Jefferson Parish. And many of them have drive-through windows where you can drive through and get a cup of alcohol. You know, in most other states in America, they would be looking at that saying, huh, how is that legal? How is that allowed? And that's allowed in a state where they are fighting the legalization of marijuana. Now, none of that makes sense, does it? None of it makes sense. So we will see what's going to open up there in the 1600 block of St. Charles Avenue. It is not going to be a daiquiri shop from a business that owns daiquiri shops in other parts of the state. They tried, and the neighbors and the city council said, nah, 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 damn daiquiri shop. All right, coming up on the show, we will do our segment, The Dumbest Thing That I Read All Week.
And we've got a bunch of extra stuff to clear, because we were not here last Friday to do the dumbest things we read all week.
Yeah, and this segment this week is going to be more difficult than usual because a few days ago we already read not only the dumbest thing that we read all week on the show, it was the dumbest thing that I think I've ever read in my life. Stay tuned. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So there are some in our country who say equality is everything. There should be no difference between men, women, boys, girls, black, white. There should be no difference. Everybody should be equal. And we all should be equal in most aspects. We absolutely all should be equal. The NBA, some are saying this is going to be the first out of the four major sports leagues in America to hire a woman head coach. It's going to be the first. As a matter of fact, the San Antonio Spurs, one of their head assistants, Becky Hammond, and many are saying she will be the first female head coach in the National Basketball Association. And that's pretty cool. If she's a good coach, I got no issue with that. Well, hey, go for it. If she's a good coach, great. But one NBA coach reportedly said, you can't have a hot woman coaching in the NBA because the guys will be trying to bleep her every day. Now, many are calling that coach and that coach's remarks sexist. Is that sexist or is that just a fact of life? If there's a really hot, Becky Hammond's attractive. I mean, I don't think I'd call her really, really hot, but she's an attractive woman. But could you imagine a stunningly beautiful woman coaching in the NBA, and she's a really good coach, but when you got guys on her team every day that...
But this is the same sort of myopic, chauvinistic, discriminatory, whatever pejoratives you want to use, that have dogged female sports anchors, female sports casters, female employees of sports teams, because there's always got to be someone who, if they don't plant the stigma, asks the question. And by asking the question, you plant the stigma. And so why is it that in sports it is it comes up in sports where it doesn't hear? I mean, it's almost as if you were to say, well, there's someone here who's just so attractive, so hot. I can't come to work because I can't focus. I can't do a radio show.
Do you see?
Because she's so hot.
But do you see how that could be an issue? Maybe it's a problem with the guy. But
why so much in sports? Why is it in sports? And I have my own particular theory about it.
Well, it's a male-dominated industry, especially the NBA. But and, you know, you look at these guys in the NBA.
But it's when you get right down to it, it's ignorant and offensive. And I'll say that comparing it to the people who think that all homosexuals, whether they be male or female, are just can't keep themselves from it. Why would a difference in their sexuality mean that there's some sort of wild, unabandoned desire to just do it with the first thing they see that is attractive? I don't understand.
You're talking about the guy that has a problem with gays and says, "Hey, stay away from me." Like,
right,
what would put in your mind that gay guy wants to do sex with you?
Exactly. You know, what gay guy is going to look at me and it's like, I don't want that fat slob. Come
well, on. You know what? You know, you brought up sexuality. Now we have the WNBA, which you have to imagine is majority lesbian. When it comes to the players and the coaches and
I don't know what. See, that's the same sort of ignorance that I don't know why you would make that assumption.
It's
that
not
assumption.
Ignorant. You haven't.
You said players, but then you said coaches. Well, and, I mean, why would an entire industry Why would an entire industry have to be made up of that?
I didn't say entire. I just said majority.
Okay.
The majority of the WNBA, they're lesbians.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's not negative. That's not positive.
Why would that be the case, though? Just because of, I will grant you that. I will grant you that I don't know what percentage of the players are. I don't think it certainly doesn't matter, and I'm not saying that you're saying that it matters, but why would it filter into executives and coaches? You said coaches.
Yeah, well, some of them are.
Okay, well, some of them are. You just said a minute ago the majority of the players and coaches were. And now it's some of them.
Well, in the WNBA.
So you went from 51% to what percent are we now?
The majority of WNBA players and coaches are gay.
Okay. Okay, you just said it was the majority, then you said some of them are, now you're back to the majority, yeah, so you've got a math problem.
It's the majority. Why are you getting all hissy about this?
It's not getting hissy. You're flip-flopping. You're going from majority to some of them back to the majority. You need to listen to yourself.
I brought this whole thing up because when we do get the first woman professional coach in one of the big American four professional sports leagues, I said it's probably going to be the NBA. And then this one guy said, well, she can't be that hot because the NBA players are going to have a tough time listening to her when they want to have sex with her.
And do you support that? Do you support that notion?
Absolutely. With some of the NBA players, absolutely. Because I know when you get really attractive women around guys, sometimes the guys have a tough time focusing on other things except for, I want to do sex with that woman.
So if we just recently got a new boss on this floor of our radio station group, so if that had been a really just drop-dead attractive female, you wouldn't be able to work?
I didn't say I wouldn't be able to work, but in the back of my mind, every time I went into her office, I'd be, wow. Look at that. I think that's human nature.
Well, sure, it's human nature, but it doesn't. That's what I'm trying to show you, that it doesn't. I don't know how we got from that to a majority of the WNBA players and coaches just automatically have to be. Now, if you show me empirical data, then sure. But here's
empirical data on that. The next time ESPN shows a WNBA game, watch it.
Well, then I would be in the minority there because no one watches the WNBA.
And some say the reason is
hissy.
Because,
I'm hissy.
All right,
hissy. Come on.
But I think it's going to be because I'm a feminist, I think it would be great. I can't wait for the first female NBA head coach, first female Major League Baseball manager. Now I don't know when that's going to happen, but wouldn't that be cool?
Cool or not, it doesn't matter. I mean,
it's never happened before. That's why.
It wouldn't be cool or not cool to me. It's one of those things that doesn't, I'm telling you, my political party is the just leave me alone party. It doesn't affect me, so I can't say whether or not it would be cool. Sure, it'd be cool.
All right, I've just brought up that this guy would say, boy, if it's a hot woman that's the NBA coach, boy, she's gonna have a tough time, and that's why. That's all. All right, coming up next.
Hissy fit.
Yeah, well. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week, and we've got a couple of runners-up. Stay tuned for that report on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's Friday morning. It's about 8:35. This is where we do our segment that we call the dumbest thing I read all week, and we always have a couple of runners-up.
That's why we call it the dumbest things.
Things. Although, Brewster, this week is harder than most weeks.
Well, we were off last Friday for the Thanksgiving holiday, so we need to clear through some extra paperwork.
And not just that, because earlier this week, not only was it that we did a story on the show that was not only the dumbest thing I read all week, it was the dumbest thing I ever read in my life. It was a story about the guy who got arrested for trying to break into the New Orleans jail. He had a backpack full of drugs, and he tried breaking into the jail, climbing over a wall,
yes.
And he was caught, and now he is staying, living in that jail that he tried breaking into. That was literally the dumbest thing I've ever read in my life.
I would tend to agree.
And then we also had the story this week about the woman in Florida who farted while she was in a store, and some guy called her out on it, said, hey, lady, why are you farting? And she pulled a knife on him.
We also had the... Southwest Airlines employees who ridiculed a young girl whose name is spelled, her first name is spelled A-B-C-D-E. Her mother pronounces it for her because she can't pronounce it. It's Absidy. And the Southwest employees saw that on her ticket and kind of poked fun. Turns out the girl suffers from epilepsy. And her mother's like, how dare you make fun of my daughter with epilepsy?
Well, the fact that the girl suffers from epilepsy has nothing to do with the fact that she has a ridiculously stupid first name. Anybody who's named ABCDE, it's a dumb, stupid name. And the mother is the one who named her that. And I remember after doing that story, Brewster, I was reading on our show this week. I was reading more about it, and people call that name shaming. And they say, we have to stop name shaming. Here's what we have to stop doing. Naming our kids stupid names. That's what we have to stop doing. Absidy.
You having a hissy fit over there?
ABC. Well, I do, because the kid has no choice what their name is.
Right.
And these parents are thinking that they're too cool for school. I'm going to name my kid something that nobody else named their kid. There's a reason nobody else named their kid that. It's because that name is dumb, it's stupid, and it sucks.
Runner-up number one, Historical Society apologizes for holiday card. Dateline, Boston, Mass. More specifically, Dateline, Dorchester, Mass. A holiday greeting from a local historical society has triggered a quick apology. I have to have a scroll down here.
You know who's from Dorchester, don't you?
Who is from...
Mocky Mock. Mock Wahlberg.
Yeah. Dorchester Historical Society, and I know, not being from there, I'm not saying it correctly. You got to say Dorchester.
Yeah.
It's like Worcestershire. You don't say Worcestershire sauce, like I said when I was a kid and didn't know any better. That Historical Society sent out a holiday card to its supporters with these words, quote, "We're dreaming of a white Dorchester," end quote. In a tweet on Monday, the Historical Society representing the city's neighborhood of Dorchester apologized for the graphic, calling it, quote, "an unfortunate oversight." As it turns out, the makeup of Dorchester is one of the city of Boston's most diverse communities. Blacks make up 45% of the population, Hispanics 18%, and whites 22%.
Yeah,
they sent out like tweets every hour on the hour apologizing.
Well, that's true, but let's face the facts. It's not the first racial issue we've ever seen come out of the city of Boston.
Right.
Jesus.
They said, "We're truly sorry about our graphic use for this event. This was an unfortunate oversight on our part, and the event photograph has been removed from our social media. We were simply changing the words to the classic Christmas carol and did not think it through properly. And it won't happen again because the person who did it is, I'm sure, fired. And looking for work," or as we say in radio, on the beach.
That's what I've always said, because I spent many years up there. That's what I've always said about when people say the South is racist. I always say, have you ever been to Boston? My God. Jesus. All right, so that's one runner-up.
Here comes another one.
Man accidentally shoots himself and his Johnson in the meat department in Walmart. This happened.
What word did they use? Yeah, I know you used Johnson. What word did they use? I'm just curious.
Two different stories. One story said man shoots himself in groin. Right. The other story said man shoots himself in meat department.
All right.
And this happened in Maricopa County.
All right.
Arizona.
Yep.
A man was taken to the hospital this week after shooting himself in his privates, in the meat department at Walmart. So obviously it was one of those Walmart super centers. It wasn't just a regular Walmart.
It's ironic.
It had groceries.
Don't you think?
You don't see that every day. A man, and he was exercising his Second Amendment right. He was legally carrying the gun.
He was exercising what?
And the next thing you know, he's in the meat department. The gun went off. He shot himself in the groin. And he's going to be okay, at least physically. I don't know... I don't know mentally if he's going to be as well.
Right.
So that's my runner-up. You got one more runner-up?
I've got one more. Bear with me just a moment. That's not the right one. Well, okay, I have this one. We'll have to do this one and save that one. A little inside baseball here. Okay. Idaho man reports finding body in the street. Police determine it's a sex doll. Dateline, Lewiston, Idaho. A man reported finding a body on the ground in Lewiston, Idaho, but it turned out to be something else, according to CBS affiliate KREM. Lewiston police received the call about a body on the sidewalk on November 18th around 11:30 p.m., reported the TV station. When officers responded to the scene, they found a human-sized, lifelike sex doll undressed and lying in the street.
They're making these sex dolls look incredibly authentic and real.
Yes, they are. A spokesman for the police department told the TV station the doll weighed approximately 100 pounds and made entirely of silicone. They took the doll and reported it as found property for the owner to claim, police said. If the owner of the doll does not claim it within 6 months, they'll destroy it. I will have audio.
You know, we told you about some businesses opening up around America and Canada where they have these real life, they're as close to life as possible, these sex dolls,
yes.
And men pay to go in and do sex with them. It's basically a prostitution house, but the prostitutes are lifelike sex dolls.
Right.
Incredible.
100 pounds, that's a little, you know, I like my women a little more chunky.
You can get them that way.
A little more meaty. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You say you want a little more meaty.
Oh, and a little more air. Mm. All right. So that means...
Those are the runners up. And
yes,
now here is the dumbest thing I read all week.
Sadly, we don't have time for it. So hurry up.
For defense against active shooters, university hands out hockey pucks.
This is great.
Boy. Hockey pucks are going to protect you the next time a mass shooter opens up at this university. You have to have pretty good hand-eye coordination to be able to stop a bullet with a hockey puck.
Exactly. So it's like Wonder Woman with the wristbands where she can stop bullets flying in midair. I don't think that's what you do.
This is at Oakland University, not California. It's right near Detroit. It's in Rochester Hills, Michigan.
That's Oakland County.
Yes.
Michigan.
It's distributing thousands of hockey pucks that they're saying may be the perfect weapon against an active shooter on campus. Yeah, an active shooter? Are you talking about Wayne Gretzky?
Well, you haven't. It's not actually. Yeah, you're not actually playing like. Let's see. Let me think of a Eddie the Eagle Belfour. You're not playing as one of the name is escaping me. One of the great goalies. It's no, that's not what you do. Did you read a little further? You're not you're not holding the hockey pucks up to deflect bullets.
What are you doing?
You're supposed to throw them at the shooter.
Oh.
Well, I'll sit here quietly, and you can read the rest of the story, and then tell me what you think.
No, I thought when I first saw the story, you're right. In the next paragraph, you throw them at the shooter. I thought you're supposed to deflect the bullets with them.
Are you serious?
That's how dumb the story is. For defense against active shooters, university hands out hockey pucks.
I didn't think the story could get more dumb, but it just did.
Wow, that's two layers of dumb right there. That's double dumb. We got our money's worth this week.
I don't think you did, but
well,
yeah, you throw the hockey puck at the shooter, and I still think it's a horrible idea.
You know, what would be a better idea for that college campus?
Homeschooling?
Having somebody on campus with a gun, because the only thing that's going to kill a bad guy with a gun is not hockey pucks; it's a good guy with a gun.
There you go.
So that's the dumbest thing I read all week, and had a couple of different angles to it.
God, I love hockey. Oh, I love hockey. when Mrs. Brewster finds out that I spent like $110 to get just the Chicago Blackhawks on PlayStation 4, just their games. Oops. Are we still on?
Actor Nick Nolte's 11-year-old daughter calls him Grandpa. I mean, have you seen him lately? She has every right to. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7.
Kick save and a beauty!
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. President Donald Trump is in Buenos Aires, Argentina, along with leaders of the 20th wealthiest countries in the world for the annual G20 summit. The G20 was created in 1999 to give foreigners who aren't into soccer a reason to riot. Coming up next, we look at it's our commercial free ride and what the hell happened to the Saints last night on Bayou 95.7. And 77-year-old actor Nick Nolte. Can you believe he's 77? He's got a 11-year-old daughter who calls him Grandpa. Mm. And if you've seen him, you can probably see why. I like Nick Nolte's movies back in the day. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. Have a great, safe weekend. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again Monday morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.